So I am very thankful to be here with you this morning. As I have been in Nigeria the past 5 years, I am from America, the great state of California. So my love is to go home. I haven't been home in a couple of years. And on my way home, I was asked by Mark Penrith to come here to preach the gospel and to get to meet the people here. I am scheduled to leave Nigeria, and I will plan to spend the next 2 years in South Africa. So I will be seeing more of you, and then I'll also be working in the townships. Because I like black people. I love black people. And I love all people. But to love your own kind of rhythm, there is nothing wrong with that. And even though I am an American, I feel the drum, I feel the beat, I feel the rhythm of worship. And so happy to worship God in truth. Let's open with our text, just the book of 3 John in chapter 1. I want to work down to at least verse number 7, if not 8. And it says, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth," or whom I truly love. It's not in the truth of the gospel that he's talking about. There is no definite article, "the," there. It's whom I truly love. And love must be true. It must be real. It must be truly love. It can't be fake. It's me and you are born again by God. We have been, if we are. And he's put inside of us a love for God's people. And as I learn the nature of the kingdom of God, it is entirely spiritual. It is entirely spiritual. It has absolutely nothing to do with this physical world. If you look in the book of Luke in chapter number 17, and you can look there with me, you can turn or you can just listen. There's a verse that has been on my mind for a couple of days, and I see how important it is in our present context of Christianity, what the kingdom actually is. And it says in Luke 17, verse number 20 and verse number 21, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees," it's when the kingdom of God would come. They are looking for something with observations, some mountains, some kind of hill, some kind of an observable fact. "He answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation.'" You cannot see it. It's not in houses. It's not in cars. It's not in gold. I was listening. It was by force. Well, not by force, but on my, is my Uber on the way here. And I also apologize for being late. It was a mix up. It's my fault. I forgot I was supposed to be here myself. I'm outside the house and I'm trying to see if, did you come to the wrong house? No, it was me. I'm in the house and I have to be here. But in the car, he's playing this religious service. And it's all the hoop up, it's all the holler up, it's all the "Oh, you're so happy. I'm so happy to be in God's house." the pumping up of religion because they think that the kingdom of God is in this observable world. How much money you got? I was in Nigeria for 5 years, and all they talk about is money in the South. All they talk about all the time and every day in the ministry of what's supposed to be the gospel is money, because they think the kingdom of God is of this world, but it's not. The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. You can look at this, you can look at this place, you can look at this prophet. For indeed the kingdom of God, and this is an accurate translation here, it's within you. It's the ESV and some other translations, is they may say it's among you, but the Greek word is it's within you. It's the same word that's used only one other time, that when Christ was talking about is you made clean the inside of the cup. The inside of the cup. That, it's not just the outside only, it's the inside of the cup. It's not the pretended religion, it's the inside of the cup. It's a sincere, it's a pure heart by faith. And the kingdom of God is inside you. And that is love for God's people and love for God, because he's put in you a new heart by faith. You looked at the Son of God in his saving glory. As you were singing, you saw him rescue you from your sins. You saw the blood of atonement, and something was born inside of you that's called the new birth, which is God getting on the inside of the heart and dwelling in us by his Holy Spirit. That's what makes us love people. It's a new kingdom. I'm a new creation, and I have new joys entirely. I'm living a brand new life. And the things of this world that satisfied me once, they can satisfy me no more. I find joy in doing other things now. This morning I was online, I was on my Twitter, because I woke up early this morning, about 4 a.m., just up. What am I going to preach? Just get back in the text and see what I'm going to preach and understand it. And it was a man that was on his Twitter. And what he said was in utter sincerity. He's not trying to be showy and act religious. He said, I love to meet with God's people. I love to sing the hymns. And I wish our hymns, those old school hymns, one, that we could sing them in a more African rhythm. I prefer that. Is I like to hear the violin. It has its place, but I like that drum. And the rhythm of the moan in old black America. We sang our songs. But the same lyrics of the gospel. I don't have to be somebody else to worship God. I can worship him in my skin and in my blood, as long as it's unto the glory of God, and it's him I'm worshiping. And these hymns are good. And he said, I love to hear the word. I love to sing. I love to be with God's people. And I had to click that. Like, because I almost passed it by, but no, like, that's encouraging. Because it is true that I have been born again by God and I've got new joys now, and I need to find out what makes me happy so I can pursue it with all my heart. And it's you. It's the kingdom of God spreading in this earth. It's the spread of the gospel in Africa, in Nigeria, in South Africa, in America, the spread of the gospel in this world. That's what brings us joy now, and to see other Christians. So let's live for this joy with all our hearts. Let's not try to be half in. Let's be wholeheartedly happy Christians by living for God's glory from the inside out. Let's go back into our text, please. It's the book of 3 John. And is my English okay?
Yes.
Did you hear my accent well? Okay. As I thought after I moved into Nigeria that everyone would speak English, and they don't. And they don't understand me at all sometimes. As I get done preaching and I see some people say, I didn't hear you. But it's much more clear here. Verse number 2 is, beloved, I pray that you may prosper. It's a prayer. It's a wish. It's not a command. It's not a promise. Nothing is promised to us in this world but God. Are you satisfied with that? He hasn't promised you health. If you give all your money to feed the poor, you come to church every day, He has not promised you health. You can die and serve God at the same time. It happened unto the prophets. It happened unto the Apostle Paul. Nobody ever served God like the Apostle Paul, but look what happened unto him. His back was beaten. He was poor. He was homeless. Sometimes he was shipwrecked. And the others, the scripture says in Hebrews, they were naked. It's from Hebrews 11, please. He is praying for prosperity, but he's not promising it. It's from Hebrews, and we need to get that out of our religion in every way. It needs to be taken out of our minds entirely, that if I serve God in this world, I'm going to have a good time in this world, in my property, in my wife, in my children. That doesn't matter. What matters is if I have God and if I give Him glory. And if He's at peace inside my heart, if I love people, whatever happens unto this body and my circumstances is not important. What's important is God. We cannot serve God for financial gain. We serve God for God, for the glory of saving our souls. Even if He never does anything for my body. But punish this flesh with death, even a slow death. We worship God because we love Him. And what the scripture says here is in the book of Hebrews 11. And I know that might sound strange, but here it is in scriptures. Verse number 36. It says the women is received their dead raised to life again. That's a good thing. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial. It's of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. they were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world, it was not worthy. They didn't have big houses on fancy mountains all the time, even though they served God. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. That's Christianity too. Some people get prosperity. I was born in America. I was taken by slave ships in my ancestry unto America. And when those slave ships departed, everybody said, huh, look at those people. Boo-hoo for them. But as of now, we got it rich. Is the president, he was a black American. There's prosperity in America if you're born there. In Nigeria, wait, in South Africa too, compared unto Nigeria. As you might not believe me, but I'm gonna say it. Nobody in Nigeria gets a free education and becomes a doctor. There is nobody in Nigeria that gets even a single naira from the government for anything. They're on their own. And so when I come here and I hear the stories, is I don't know it well, but you're able to get a free education and to get a job. Every country doesn't have that type of prosperity in Africa. And some of you are going to work very hard, and God is going to bless your financial labors. He needs some people to have money so they can give, so he makes some people have money. He maketh rich. But he needs some people to be poor, that the rich may give unto them, and that they may actually worship God in their poverty. It's not promised unto me and you what is going to happen in our future. But we pray. Let's go back in our text. You hearing me clearly? Am I preaching the Bible? I'm telling the truth, though.
Shame the devil.
What did you say?
Tell the truth, shame the devil.
Shame the devil. It's the truth, oh. That's what they say back in Nigeria. It's the truth, oh. Ah, beloved, I pray, I desire that you may prosper in everything, in your health, in your family, in your job, in everything about you, because I care about you, he says. I want everything for you to be good, and I'm praying. I wish it. I desire it. The person who just lost their father. As we pray that they may be comforted. As we pray for him before he died, right? You begged God, have mercy. But God said, no, the time is up. And if he's coming to heaven, it's time to come. And the blessing is even greater. But we pray, even though it isn't promised. But here's one thing that is promised, just as your soul prospers. Your soul, it will be able to handle any situation that God throws unto you, unto the glory of God. He will give you and I peace in anything that happens in this world. Is we will submit, is we may have to struggle and say, not my will, but thy will be done. But he will conquer us and put us at peace in this world. No matter what happens to anybody or around us or anything that happens unto us personally. Me and you will be able to worship God. Let your soul be at peace. Let your soul prosper. Take care of your soul and get it right with God. He will help you. He will not fail. These promises are spiritual. These blessings are real and they will not fail. He will not let you down. There will be peace and joy on the inside, and there will be worship that gets out as your soul prospers. Those songs you sing in church with that joy, it won't only be in the church house. It will be when nobody's looking. It'll be in your heart, even when you can't express it with words. Even at a job you don't like. He'll make you love God and worship and serve God right there with peace in your heart, because he's powerful and he's able and he's inside of us by the Spirit. That's where the kingdom of God is. It's in here. It's not out here. I can pray for things to prosper, but it's in here. That's what I need, and that's what I got from God as a promise. The forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
Peace unto overcome the storm.
Yes.
I can walk on water if I keep my eyes on Jesus. He will never fail me nor forsake me. And not you either. He's a great God, a gracious God, a very giving God, a very faithful God. He's a promise-fulfilling God. He's perfect. And all of his promises are real. If he was promising money, all of us would have it. Huh? If he was promising health, I'd never get sick. But I'm going to die one day. Thank God. I'm going to leave this world and leave this body behind. Thank God. This body is deteriorating before my eyes. This here gray, it wasn't always here. I had big muscles, my sisters. I used to, no. This, but the holier I am, that is on the inside. It's the worst my physical condition gets over the years. He didn't promise us a healthy body, but we can pray and go see the doctor. Ain't that wise? Ain't that wise? I'm not going to not see my doctor just because I'm praying. He uses means, right? Oh man, I was in the hospital and I was sick. It was in my stomach and I was in some excruciating pain. And this woman came in and I had to tell her to leave. What she told me was, we don't need the medicine, we just need to pray. I wanted medicine so bad. Get out of my room. I've been praying the whole day. I'm in pain and agony. I want medication now. Verse number 3. For I rejoice greatly. It's when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. That's where it is, in you. Just as you walk in the truth. The truth is something to walk in. It's something to live by in our hardships, in our trials, in our disappointments, in our wrestling with sin and overcoming by the Holy Spirit. You cannot walk in the truth yourself, but in the power of God, you can do anything that is commanded of you. And he will give you and I the Spirit because of Christ. He gives us the ability to obey and follow God because of Christ and by the Spirit. As you look to Christ in the message of no condemnation, the law of the Spirit of life, he works inside you to obey God and to love people. It's a walk. It's not just a talk. It's not just a sitting in church. It's a church in mobilization in the world. It's a church that loves each other and takes this love out into the world, and they see and say, aha, oh, how he loves people. He's not just doctrinally accurate in his Calvinism. He's a worshiper and a soul seeker. He loves God and he loves people. He doesn't just love doctrine. It's not just talk. As I see people online, they're on my Facebook page, and I've had some experience. They talk. And I say, brother, I'm in your area. Is we're going to be having a conference here. It's a seminar. I'm going to be here for 3 weeks. Is your pastor preaching the gospel? No. And so why don't you come join us and fellowship, and let's help spread the gospel into the world. Let's meet some other people here who know and love God, some people who you can encourage in the gospel. I'm too busy. Posting all day, every day, but too busy to meet with the people of God. That's a talk, but it's not a walk. Oh no, we walk it. We live by it. If nobody was looking, I'd be a greater Christian than I am here right now if nobody was looking, because my worship and service of God is sincere. It's not for show. It's not for TikTok only. Verse number 4. I have no greater joy. Now look at these words. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. In the truth. And that's the gospel. What is your joy? That's what is your greatest joy? I'm asking God, after reading this text, that I make your walking in the truth, especially the people I know who I've helped to come in faith in the gospel, that I would realize that this is my greatest joy on earth, not myself. Oh, hear me on this. Is we have the tendency, saints, to live for ourselves and think that we shall be happy, instead of living for others. Who's the happiest soul in America? Is it the man with the most money? Is it the Christian with the most money? Is it the Christian that's playing professional sports? It was a professional basketball player that's in the NBA. He was standing there with Steve Lawson. Is he the happiest Christian in America? Answer me. The happiest Christian in America is who? The one that's living for other people's souls. The one that's living for the salvation of others. The one that's going up to God every day and to get strength in order to serve God, and seeing other people come to Christ and loving their souls. That's a joy God gives. And we got to get this clear. Our joy doesn't come from ourselves. Our joy doesn't come from this world. Our joy does not come from things. Our joy does not come from nobody else. That's the joy of the world. And me and you are to love not the present world. Our joy is from God. He's a joy giver. He's a joy stealer. He takes away the joy of this world to save our soul. He convicts us of sins, but then he's a joy giver. Don't let anybody tell you that the devil is a better giver than God. It's just that our joys are not in this world, not in a wife, not in children, not in cars, not in money. Health is nice. I rejoice. I've been sick. I rejoice. But my joy and your joy is from God.
Amen.
And it's from serving in the kingdom of God. It's from serving people. It's from finding strangers and talking unto them about Christ and seeing them grow into mature children of God. That's where our joy is from. It's in another world. It's in another kingdom. And that kingdom is in here. Are you with me? Okay, now you're hearing me. Oh, my joy. Verse number 5. I beloved. Now, this is a missionary church, right? Yes? And so you planted this church? It's for how long ago?
4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years. And as to what you said is you have a love for the hood, which means you could have been elsewhere, and you came here to plant a church. That's what I'm going to do. As a missionary. Is in his own context, but he brought the gospel from where he was into where he is now. He could be over there, but he's over here to spread the gospel. And his hood isn't all that bad to me. I spent 5 years in Nigeria, and I'm from East Oakland, and it's a lot more peaceful here. It's a lot less gun. I just feel different. I'm just going to speak to you honestly. It's the last time I was home in Oakland, a man pulled a pistol on me. As he was hitting on a woman, I asked him to stop, and he went and he got his gun. So, is America isn't always all it's cracked up to be. It's a great country, and I love my country. But you can worship God right here.
Amen. Amen.
And you don't need any changing of your circumstances to worship God and be happy. Have you figured that out yet? That you don't need anything else to be happy than what you already have. Oh, if we enjoy him and spread the gospel, we will be happy. Ah, beloved, is you do faithfully as to whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. And so I'm a stranger here, and I'm in Pastor Mark Penriff's home. And I know it isn't easy. But you know what he's going to do with his wife? Is they have some extra space in the back and in the garage. It's an extra rooms there. He's going to make that into it's into missionary housing. And so when saints are passing through, they'll have a place to stay. It'll have its own shower. It'll have its own bedroom. It will have convenience. He's just made his house the house of God even more so. He's just brought a blessing unto his home. If we're not only caring about the Christians that are in our midst, we're caring about Christians anywhere that come across our face. He could be a white Christian. He could be a black Christian. He could be a Jewish Christian, is he could have some red skin or some pink skin or some white skin or some black skin. He could be Nigerian, but if he's Christian, He's a child of God. And he's my brother. And I'm going to open my home. Oh, I had an opportunity once. It's to house a saint, and it still haunts me now. And I didn't think my housing was up to par. And I asked him to get a hotel. But it's been over 6 years, and I still regret that decision. I could have made room on the couch. I could have given him my bed and just said, excuse my bathroom. It's a problem here with the plumbing and on the walls. Please, but make yourself at home. I wish I had made that decision. Because hospitality is what we show people, even when it's convenient and we are embarrassed. You don't have to have a whole lot to give. You don't have to wait until you're rich. You can give even when you're poor. And that's blessed. That church of Macedonia, in their poverty, they begged Paul to take it. And the apostle Paul said, it's too much of an offering. And they said, please take the offering. And he blessed God and told about them all around this world. And that amount, it might not have added up unto a lot, but it was more than they could handle in his eyes. And that's what made it such a blessing of God. As your pastor was asking about my honorarium, I don't need one. But if you scraped untogether as to what you had and you gave, I'd appreciate it. But more than that, God would know your heart and he'd bless you. He loves the cheerful giver. It's not the count. It's not the amount. It's not how much. It's out of the abundance of what you have or the little of what you and I have. It doesn't matter how much it is. It matters the heart. Because the kingdom of God is where? It's inside you. It's in here. That's where the joy is. That's where we worship God. In here. This is where we serve God. This is where Christ reigns. This is where grace and the gospel, it rules our heart. And the kingdom of God is there. And the king is happy. Verse number 6. Who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner that is worthy of God, you do well. Missionaries like this ought to be supported. It's the other men that shall be sent out, and some of you women too will go and you'll open schools and you'll meet with children. It's a woman named Mary Slessor that in 1875, a single white woman left Scotland or the UK and came and became a missionary and is the most well-known missionary in Nigeria unto this day, a Reformed Presbyterian. Is she worked with the children and she stopped infant. She stopped the killing of twins. And her name is famous. And then other missionaries came and preached the blessed gospel. And we need more of them. Men and women here. Oh, we need somebody to be raised up from this midst to go out and preach the gospel unto this world as a missionary. And if we can't find one, then we need to scrape together our dollars and support them. Not only our pastor, is we have to support those, especially who are coming into our midst, into our communities to preach the blessed gospel. I've got to give. It's because I'm a part of the work. They deserve it. They're worthy of it. And we hope our brothers in other areas who have more money will be more clear in their understanding and be encouraged and will open their eyes even more so and send out more missionaries into the black community. is we need them in South Africa. Because I was asking Pastor Mark, how many black preachers of the real gospel are there in South Africa as compared unto whites? And the numbers he came up with are almost 10 to 1 and underrepresentation. Is we need a lot of black preachers. And we need a lot of our white brothers to spend their resources and send their bodies into places that are a little bit more difficult to reach by them. We've got to get the gospel out to our community. We cannot let our brothers and sisters die in false religion unwarned. Everybody ought to hear the gospel of Christ at least once. We can't leave them there. That's why I came into Nigeria and Africa. I couldn't stay home and just cry. It ought to bring tears unto our eyes. It ought to break our hearts. What's happening around us in the name of religion ought to make us cry big crocodile tears. And then we ought to give and we ought to do something about it. And we ought to give our lives, each and every one of us. If not in my body out there preaching, in my money and in my prayers. Huh? In my love. This has got to be a missionary church. It isn't all about building up this place. It's building the kingdom in this world. And as we live to spread it out, it'll make this place, this worship, even more happy. That's true, isn't it? Oh, it'll make us happier than we ever imagined if we live to serve other people. I'm going to have to wrap it up. Verse number 7, and this is important. It says, because they went forth, it's for his name's sake, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Hear me carefully, please. I'm almost finished. The only kind of man that you and I are to support is a man who does not want our money. You find a man who wants money for preaching, do not support him at all. If he's not going to preach unless he's paid, do not support him. He has not been sent by God. The man of God will preach and work at the same time, the Apostle Paul did.
Yes.
And he provided for his needs and for other people's needs. He was a missionary, not after money. He said, I'm not even going to write you on money. This is important in the African context, especially as to where there is poverty and men preach for money so much. In the Bay Area, as to where I'm from, is you don't get into religion in order to make money. Is you get a job in Silicon Valley. But in Africa, I found, especially in Nigeria, that men preach for money. And if you don't pay them, then they don't preach. Then don't let them preach and don't pay them a penny. If the greedy buzzards, don't give them anything. If they're after the dollar, if they're after money, don't give them anything. If they're preaching for hire, don't give them anything. If they're telling the people that God will, if they tell the people that God shall bless you if you give me money, they are liars. You hearing? They're liars. God will bless you and me for Christ's sake. And whether you give unto me or not, for Christ's sake, if your faith is in him. And if your money is given in a cheerful heart, he may take away your whole life and your family and still bless your soul. He is a blessing God, but the kingdom is not of this world. I don't promise you money if you give money. Nobody should. He'll take care of us. But he will not make us rich just because it's we give. If Africa could be made rich by giving, it would be the richest. It would be the richest area on earth, right? Africans give more money unto their preachers than any place in the world. And poverty's still here. That's not the key to success and riches. It's hard work and opportunity and the blessing of God. As your soul prospers and he prospers you unto be in health and in prosperity as he wills. But look what Paul said here, and I'm wrapping up. It's Philippians 4, and I'm very serious on this. Preachers taking money is a horrible thing. Preachers ought to be given support if they're faithful. Did you see the difference? The one is a money grubber. He's after your wallet. He's after what you have in your pocket. The other is after your soul. That's who you support. He doesn't want anything from you. He wants to give unto you his soul, his life in the preaching of the gospel. He wants to give you everything. That's who you give to. It's Philippians in chapter 4. The apostle Paul was actually talking about preaching, and he was talking about the giving of the Macedonian church. He said this, verse number 17, not that I seek the gift. I'm not talking to you about giving. I'm not teaching on giving. If the church was poor and almost bankrupt, the pastor, he would not stand up and preach a sermon on giving in order to get money. Did you hear me clearly? That's a big statement. Huh? If the church was going under and we were going to have to close our doors next week, if the pastor stood up and preached on giving, he would not be preaching in order to get money. I said what I said. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. I want you to give, he says, because I want you to be generous and serve God. It doesn't have anything to do with me. I've learned to be content, Paul says. I'm a selfless human being, the apostle Paul says. I'm not in it for money or anything that anybody's got. I want your soul to prosper. I want you to love God. And my joy is what Paul said. The apostle John said it. It's the Lord Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, right? What was the context as he said that? The healing of the soul of the woman of Samaria. That harlot woman, that prostitute on the side at least, that had five husbands, he healed her soul. He gave her the fountain of living water. And she ran off and told everybody about Christ. I found him. He told me everything about me, not just my past. He told me if I drink the water, I'll never thirst again. And I'm not thirsty. I'm satisfied. I'm happy. I'm content. I have God. I'm worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And the Lord Jesus said, that's what satisfies me and us too. Oh, our joy is to see other people love God. Let's live for that fact, and we will be happy. It's called true love. It's called love in truth. Amen.
Amen.